are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
Ask not for who the toll's for. It's for, I don't know who it's for, actually. I'm not entirely sure. This worked out so much better in my head. Next time, I'm just going to let Brad start this.
Okay, let's see. Ask not for whom pays the toll. The toll pays for thee. That's a John Donne poem and an Ernest Hemingway novel title.
I made a huge mistake. It's like all like TED talking over here, like, well, you know, the history of poetry is related to this horror film. The Toll is actually, all right, hands up, who thinks there's deeper subliminal meanings behind this film?
And we all have hands too.
We all have hands. To be clear, everyone here is armed.
There is at least six arms.
Not Brad, he's from Canada, so
my neighbors are armed for hunting and not people.
Anyway, we're talking about The Toll, which is not The Toll from like 2 years ago, which is a totally different movie. This is a new Toll by director Michael Nader. There's a lot of people who like to have different words for films like this. Two-hander is a common term, but I've never cared for it. I like bottle movie. There's two characters, basically, in this film. And there's other characters who are there that affect them, but they're not really characters. They're more parts of their own psyche affecting them. Anyway, let's just get into what The Toll is. Joining me is Brad.
Hello.
Are you a toonie or a loony?
I'm a toonie every day.
I thought maybe you'd launch into your own version of the Animaniacs theme. I'm very disappointed. And Bob.
Hello, everybody.
The Toll. What is it about? Well, it starts off with a girl getting a ride share. She's like, oh, okay. Like a jumping into the back of the ride share, as many of us have done many times, played by Jordan Hayes, who herself has had a reasonably good career in film. She's from Helix, the television series, playing one of the main characters, Dr. Sarah Jordan, in that. And she was in Transporters, the series. Anyway, and the driver, who you're right off the bat like, oh, this guy's kind of a nerd, is played by Max Toplin, who himself is like one of those guys you're like, wait, who is that guy? I feel like I know him from something.
He was on Suits for a long time.
She's in the back of it. She's like, it's a long fucking trip from the airport to where my dad lives. And it's weird, right before it starts, he's doing this thing where he's looking at his phone and he sees guys requesting rides and he's like, skip, 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 and then sees a girl and accept. You're like, ew. But you know, he kind of explains it as they're going along. She's nervous. He's like, I feel uncomfortable taking guys for rides because I'm scared of, like, I don't know, like abusive guys, serial killers, or so many scary stories out there. And you're like, okay. You can tell she's uncomfortable too with the situation. She's not real happy about a long ride share out into the middle of fucking nowhere through the woods. Anyone would be. And he also is nervous. So the first, not quite a quarter of the movie is them on this ride share. They're talking. There's a steadily building, complete lack of connection between these two people. He's nervously talking. She's like, oh my God, please stop. They finally get to the point where the turnoff, the place that leads through the woods in a small road towards where her dad lives. And she's like, that's not the right turn. And he's like, you can look at the app here. Here's my phone. My phone says this is a turnoff. We can go another way, please. Just, you know, he's totally being like, anything you want to do. Right. I mean, as somebody who's a former rideshare driver, I can tell you I've been in the scenario with someone who's like hyper nervous. And you're like, you literally tell me what you want. You can handcuff me to the fucking steering wheel if you want for this ride, whatever you need. So it was one of those type of scenarios. I'm like kind of feeling more for the driver, going like, Jesus Christ, it's one of these. But can't blame anyone for being nervous in this situation. So going out and suddenly the car just stops. It's just dead. And she's like, bullshit. He's like, no. It's not me. Over a series of things that happen, without to get too specific about it right from the start, it looks like they're trapped in a weird sort of side dimension-y type of thing, because there's a thing that is not an actual real urban legend. I say real urban legend, but not a urban legend. One of those things that feels like it is, but it's not, where it's like the Toll Man, who is this guy who's like, oh, if there's one of you guys who are like connected to death in some way, then I'm going to take y'all into my dimension, my side dimension, until one of you pays the toll, which is blood. Death! Blood is the toll! And then he does a bunch of shit that you've seen in other horror movies for like an hour.
That was a very good description. It makes you wonder how many, you know, psychos do carry people out into the woods and don't even realize they're paying the toll. So that's kind of funny.
Could have happened to me. I don't even know. I have some stories that belong more in Penthouse form than they do on Twilight Zone, but...
Yeah, there was a point in the movie where they're trying to figure out what's going on. And Jordan Hayes' character, Cammy, says, you know, I have a friend. And this is even before the reveal that this is pretty much an urban legend thing that they're trying to do. She's like, you know, I have this friend. And when they were, you know, going through the backwoods and there was these murderers. And I don't know, at the end of this, it just kind of seems like some stuff that happened. And the Toll Man is this guy that we keep hearing about and never see.
Or do you? We don't even know if we see him.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Perhaps the Toll Man was all the friends we made along the way.
Oh, God. Thank you. If you hadn't said it, I would have.
We meet a secondary character, an older woman, who's like, I can't help y'all, but I know what's up. And so all I kept thinking about for the rest of the movie is like, so did she kill somebody to get out of here?
Well, no. I mean, it was like a setup for a prequel film is all that was. Like, oh it's a period piece prequel. Someone call Flanagan. He'll make the good movie out of this.
Yeah, and I'd watch it.
I kept going, this isn't a terrible premise. It's a strong setup where you're like, I didn't realize the type of movie we were watching was a supernatural film. It felt like it was going to be a cat and mouse chase through the woods type movie, you know? You know, where it's like, oh, clearly the driver's crazy or maybe the girl's crazy. And like, it's going to be a, you know, run and survive film. And it's not that type of movie at all. It's a supernatural hallucinatory, as they're like, oh, what Toll Man wants is, because apparently he can't kill you directly. He has no power to just, he can't Freddy Krueger this shit. He is going to make you so paranoid that you're going to kill the other person. So it's them fighting a series of things and fighting their own memories. And, you know, it's a kind of a cool idea. I just thought it was executed so cheaply and it borrowed so much stuff from so many other better films. I mean, even the look of the ostensibly, is this the Toll Man, which is sort of a blank white mask with a painted on smiley face, sort of melty smiley face, was really generic.
Oh, I thought that was his chin and it was like a slit throat or something. So, yeah, not the best.
It could have been. I don't know. It was hard to tell.
I'm with you. Parts of it were fun to watch when you have to tell somebody, okay, what we want to see in this scene is they can look like they're walking away, but they're going to not really get anywhere. And physics or, you know, time or whatever is a little off and stuff. There was some cool stuff that I've seen in video games now that I watch some horror and sci-fi video game stuff. You know, you've seen some of this stuff visualized and that was cool. What I think made it feel kind of lacking to me is that they tie this to really serious themes of not only childhood trauma, but suicide and crippling anxiety is kind of what we're talking about. That was a little heady for what was going on.
No, and I agree. I think Jordan Hayes should be given a serious script. Or a more dramatic one, at least, about this situation, because she was great. But everyone around her was all like, I'm a bad cartoon man, though. I think that was just fine that happened.
I liked Max Toplin, too, who plays the rideshare driver. I thought he was good, because he has to walk this delicate line, especially in today's world, where our assumption is that he's going to be the bad guy.
Absolutely.
He's got to play this role where he's got to win over the sympathy of the audience, which is difficult considering the situation, because especially that we know already going into it's a horror movie, we're like, it's got to be that guy. I thought he did a great job, which makes the ending of this film all the more unfortunate.
Well, I always have a pet peeve when something shows up that you're aware exists in your own life and you're immediately convinced that it's that thing. Like, if I was alone in the woods and suddenly I heard someone be like, hey, Brad, over here, I'm in the woods too. I wouldn't immediately think, oh my gosh, that's my friend Brian from 12 years ago. I gotta go again. I got to run to him.
I knew it.
Yeah.
Kermit the Frog?
Yeah. Come on. Let's sing about rainbows.
It's a white people joke, but real early in Gaia, there's a scene where a drone breaks down off camera and they're kind of canoeing through the jungle pretty much. And one of the characters says, oh, you know, I want to go out there and look for it. And the other character says, you just like all those white people. Oh, is that danger? Let me go check it out. It was true. So funny.
Yeah, we would totally do that. I wouldn't in the Amazon because, A, you wouldn't catch me in the Amazon.
Yeah.
I'm like, this fish that crawl up your urethra and, like, fucking, like, throw spikes up into your innards. I'm like, no, right there. I was like, that's all I need to know. I won't even go to Australia. So, you know, I'm not into places with deadly natural predators, like, everywhere.
Yeah, I like hearing and seeing and reading about untouched parts of nature and stuff, but... Yeah, I'd get out of the boat and they'll be at the eulogy talking about, well, a spider web had collected some venom from something that fell and it grazed a bird's wing and it got in his ear. And
well, the spider web of this particular film was a complex psychological situation and supernatural killer that didn't feel like it really ever completely explained itself. Like, did anyone come out of this going, I know what the Toll Man is thing? I mean, I want at least a long time ago on a deserted road type story of, like, you know, an origin story or something. And I get that sometimes you just want an abstract, I don't know, it's just a force of nature, but it was just too... Yeah. It felt like the Bye Bye Man or something in that sense. I mean, I think it's a much better movie than that, but it's just arbitrary. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, and it's weird. Someone shows up to dump exposition, which I think she did great because she kind of had that, you don't want to go down that road. Sometimes that is better. But in her own way, and I thought she was fantastic. I love exposition dumps in horror movies by character actors and actresses. I'll just admit that.
That's a legendary Rosemary Dunsmore, who's been in a shit ton of movies and TV shows, recently played Sarah Duncan in Orphan Black, the television show on there.
So. That's fantastic. Yeah, so I did enjoy that. Well, no, she explained it well in her tone and the mystery of it, but then the film's like, ugh, just look at these weird images. And they weren't scary enough for me to forget that there's no rules, or at least established rules. Yeah. So I was like, well.
She's like, sometimes exact change is better.
Yeah. You want to pay $1.05. Sometimes you got to pay that $1.10. Tip him.
If you have a toonie, that's $2. They won't give you a dollar back.
Yeah, you want to give the toonie, not the two loony.
The surge price is your soul.
All right, let's go to final thoughts. Bob, get us started.
Competent? Yes. Was it got some creepy stuff? Yeah. Was it some stuff we've never seen before? No, I don't really think so. For me, it was kind of in the middle between a movie that was way gorier and people running, or one that was really darker and more of a sadder, more tragic take. This one was just kind of functional in the middle. It was great performances, like we said, Jordan Hayes and Max Toplin. Michael Nader, I liked his script for his previous film, Headcount, that was big on ambiguity, and this one plays that in the right places. I like the main characters. They're both playing a certain kind of role that's got to switch a couple times. And I think the script did that. It's just it was kind of hollow a little bit on the emotional front. And you didn't get that counterbalanced against more horror shock stuff. So I don't know which movie I wanted it to be. But this one, I'm going to give it 6.5. I'm not going to fly to you unless you pick me up from the airport. No ride shares. Thanks.
All right, Brad.
I've never been in a ride share myself.
What?
And this, no, I walk everywhere. We only have one Earth, everybody.
Jesus.
The gall of these Canadians. You know, earlier he called us Americans neighbors. Did you hear that? Very condescending.
I did.
Well, I'm like, hey, Canada, America's hat.
Neighbor's a wonderful word. And what's wrong with hats? Everybody likes hats.
Oh, the contempt.
Okay, I liked this enough. I liked the cast. It was a small cast, and I usually enjoy those. Jordan Hayes, I'll be looking out for. Like you said, Max Toplin, that's fantastic news about Rosemary Dunsmore, because I really did love that scene. It really pepped up the whole movie, because I was kind of like, whoo, when they were in the, what's going on? Where are we? Are you doing this? Are you doing this? Are you doing this? Are you doing this? And that... It's a short, and I think well-paced, but that seemed to be lasting forever, so I'm glad when she showed up. The payoff, I can't say for sure I saw it coming. But I'm also not scared of ride shares or of mystic roads or whatever the toll man's supposed to be. And I kind of just wanted the three of these characters to be in a more serious film and throw the superstition out. But I wasn't bored and it moved by pretty quickly. I'm going to give this 6 arrows in 10 quivers.
The guy's the rideshare driver is like, oh, I do bow and arrow stuff. I don't like guns. So I have a bow and arrow in my back. I'm like, okay, that's real trustworthy. That's what could go wrong there. You know, arrows, bow and arrow stuff has been big lately. Everybody's like Hawkeye, Hunter Games, whatever. He's kind of a geek, so it's not entirely outside of the question. It's fine. You know, I didn't hate this. I didn't even dislike it. I thought there's a lot of stuff that happens that I go, wow, this show so could have been better. But you also think, man, this has got to be super low budget. Like they just crammed this thing together with what they had. And I mean, a lot of it comes off like a relatively well budgeted, but not super expensive local haunted house in terms of the scares things here. Like, okay, it's fine. But what really sets us apart are the performances of the two leads, who I think are great. They have great antagonistic chemistry with each other. Like that whole you never know, is one of them lying? Are both of them lying? Is neither one of them lying? They do a really good job of sucking you into that world. And that's enough to keep you going through this movie. As I often say, like if you have good characters, almost everything else is secondary. And that's true here. The third act goes into some super silly places. I think the story idea is good. It's just the actual plotting isn't really not very good at all. And the third act completely goes into tired, trying to get a red box deal type realm. But I do think ultimately this is worth watching. There are some thrills to be had here, certainly. There's some even some stuff that I thought was genuinely spooky. Ultimately, at the end, I was like, well, it's kind of limp. I'm going to give this 5.5 out of 10 meters that say exact change only.
Well, we can all make a change for the better to avoid the toll man.
Maybe. Oh my God, fucking Canadians.
Nickelback joke, they're Canadian.
Are they?
Yeah. Yeah. Chet Kroeger has the biggest house in Canada, I think.
Why have we not set sanctions against Canada for Nickelback?
You have. They just get overturned.
They're too catchy for sanctions. It's fucking crazy. Yeah.
All the radio stations always fight them. And
I want to see a horror movie that's just about a Canadian defending Nickelback on a movie review and all the horrible shit that happens to him because of it on some spiritual level.
There was a joke on Twitter around Justice League, the Snyder shit, that they should have had the song, a version done by Nickelback, so that all the people that love the movie would have to stand for Nickelback now.
Yeah. It was a secret code, like something like that.
Good way to mark them, right?
Yeah.
You're like, there's your mark of Cain.
How true are you?